This is In the Spotlight, where we shine the light on college students, our lived experiences, and the research to help us thrive. We're coming to you from the Clemson Honors College as part of CCARE, a special research group in the Creative Inquiry Program. My name is Taryn, and I'm a senior biological sciences major and sociology minor.
Hey, my name is Aaron. I'm a senior computer science major and philosophy minor.
Hey everyone, this is Nathan. I'm a senior computer science major and cybersecurity minor.
Hi guys, I'm Julia and I am a construction science and management major here at Clemson. So how are we all doing today on a scale of 1 to 5?
I mean, I can go ahead and get us started off. I'm going to go ahead and put myself at a 5 because,
Ooh. Yeah,
I know, to the audience at home who was probably unaware of this, I don't know if this was mentioned during the previous episode. Last week, I was out because of good old COVID-19, so I've been locked up in my room for several days on end, and now I am finally back. I'm out in the wild. So it's good to, I'm running on like 4 hours of sleep as per usual, as is expected, but it's good to be back.
That's good. Unfortunately, we're also missing Ashley this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so sickness is getting us all.
Yeah, we just cannot win this week.
Nope. Yeah. I would say I'm at a 4. I also had like a weird sickness thing happen this past weekend, but I'm fine. Just had to go to urgent care again this semester.
Oh my gosh.
But everything is fine, guys. How many times have you been? 3. Because every time that I visited, something from the last visit makes my next visit happen.
Oh no.
So, yeah, but today has started out okay. I'm a little frustrated with like how this week looks as far as exams and projects go, just because so many things are happening the week before finals and I feel like it's not fair, but you know, that's college.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately. I would say I'm also at a 4, maybe 3.5. I also have some 2 presentations, one today and one tomorrow. I have not fully completed the slides for said presentations. So, really cutting it close there. And also I have another project in my like capstone class that we're not supposed to be working on in development anymore, but I need to like submit my changes.
Oh, well, good luck with all of that.
Yeah.
I would say I'm at 3. I went to Mojo's Coffee yesterday after one of my meetings. And I never do this, but I got a coffee at like 5 o'clock. That was not a good idea. So I was up till like 1, which never happens.
No.
So I'm like running on very little sleep. Not as little as Nathan, but little for me. So I'm a little tired today, but I feel like things are starting to slow down, which I'm excited for.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So for the last several weeks, we've been researching financial health and how it affects college students. Before we begin, we just want to preface that we are not financial advisors and all comments made in this episode are from personal experience. Please seek professional financial help in order to make informed decisions about your own finances. Continuing our conversation about financial health, we wanted to discuss the research surrounding financial wellness in college students. To get us started, would you describe managing finances as stressful?
That's an interesting question.
I think the obvious answer here is probably yes.
I was leaning towards yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things to like keep in mind here because there's, on one hand, there's managing finances in terms of just like staying afloat,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Ensuring that you have whatever you need to get through the next day, ensuring you're able to pay your bills, your taxes, all that good stuff, you know, keep the electricity running. But another part of managing finances is like also like growing your net worth, growing how much you actually have at your disposal, which means that not only do you need to take the income that you're bringing in and be able to like manage that to actually get through your daily life, but you then also have to take like ideally a fairly sizable portion of that and just take it away from yourself and just stow it away somewhere and cross your fingers that number goes up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would absolutely describe it as stressful.
Yeah. I think we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but I think as soon as you move off campus, you then have bills, and it's a lot of them that you have to, that have different due dates. A lot of them you can make automatic, but that's something that I think is stressful. Just making sure you don't miss any of those because it's really important. So I would say that's like a stressor in finances for me personally, just because there's so many things going on. So making sure you don't like miss those deadlines is can be a little stressful.
And then if you're eating out or trying not to eat out, and the expense that comes with doing that versus cooking.
That's so true.
But then that becomes stressful because if you don't have enough time to cook, you start eating out more because school gets stressful. Then you feel like your finances are getting away from you and it becomes very stressful in that as well.
So, yeah, I agree. I think especially looking at it from a future sense too, where it's like right now we're kind of in this like environment where it's almost kind of structured for us, but then like that thought of like going into the real world and having to know all these skills that back up finances, where I'm like, oh my god, that's so stressful looking forward to.
Yeah, I think that I've like tried to pace myself, which is so interesting because like I was telling Aaron after our last episode, I feel like I have like such high expectations for myself in every area, but I think finances is one area where I have like paced myself and I feel I feel more proud of myself in this area than any other area, which I think is just like odd. I don't really know why that's the case.
No, I think that's a good mindset. Like if you're like more patient with yourself and you have goals that are slower paced, but you're reaching them.
Yeah,
I think that's a good way to look at it.
Especially because when it comes to personal finance, like there's, I mean, whether it's like, oh, a retirement fund, Roth IRA, like whatever you're looking at, there's a lot of jargon, a lot of different concepts that you need to understand. And like, I definitely fall into the pitfall of like being like, oh, I don't understand what this is. I'm going to get stressed about it because it's like, this is my personal, like, this is my finances. This is something that like is going to govern how I am financially for quite a while. Let me get stressed about that. So being able to actually like pace yourself and be able to take things in as you realize that you need them.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not easy to do either. I feel like it's hard to pace yourself when you really, really have, like you have this high goal. Like I want my finances to be, look a certain way, to be perfect almost. So if you have this goal, it's going to be very hard to pace yourself. You just want to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you may not be walking alongside someone else going at the same pace. You're most likely looking at people who either have everything together or don't.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I want to be one of the people who have everything together.
It's so, every time you get that email from Experian, your credit score is updated.
Oh my goodness. I get that so many times. And it's stressing me out because I'm like, should I be checking it more often?
Oh my gosh. Well, we read an article called Financial Stress and Financial Counseling Helping College Students by Britt Canal and Fernat et al. And it was basically about this peer counseling, financial counseling model that happened at a university. And so that brought up the question of how do you have conversations about finances and money with peers? Because I feel like a lot of times on the podcast, we talk about having conversations and having open conversations with others about things. But I feel like money goes into one of those big topics you don't really talk about, or like it's not polite in a lot of ways to bring it up. So how do we have those conversations?
I would say I'm very like objective about it, like kind of like you when you're asking questions about it because it's out of your own ignorance. I think you should like state that, like, oh, I'm curious about how this works, and state like why you're asking these questions, not because you're being snoopy. I think that's always like a good way to go about it. And just be like open-minded with what other people have to say. Don't be pushy. But I think there's a lot to learn from other people too when you're having conversations about finances. Because everyone, again, like we said in the earlier episode, everyone's financial health, financial wellness looks different. So I think you have to take that into account when talking to other people and consider your own situation and what your goals are versus theirs might be.
I think that's really important. I think that also approaching the conversation, like you're saying, with trying to learn, I guess, and less of, I just want to know this information can be very helpful. I know that for me. A lot of my friends are all in very different financial situations. So some of them have had gigantic internships. And so I went to them. I was like, so did you do taxes this year? Or and they're like, yes, I did. And I was like, so how did that work? Mm-hmm. So I just have a ton of questions because all of my friends are in very different places and have been over the course of college.
Mm-hmm. I think that I've talked about finances with other people correctly and incorrectly. I would say correctly at my internship this past summer, I was like, I don't know how much I would potentially make if I worked here as an intro job. Mm-hmm. And so I was encouraged to ask somebody what their starting salary was when I first came in, because it was like their second year or something. And I was like, I don't know if this is rude to ask. I don't know anything, but I went with the mindset of just learning, like gaining some information versus like stooping around wondering like, how much do you make? How much do you make? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm just trying to get more informed. And the person was like very open, like, yeah, we should be able to like be more open and clear about how much mm-hmm. we make. Mm-hmm. And he told me, and I was like, oh, now I have this information. And it was like a weird interaction I've never done before, because I felt like it was always so secretive. But I feel like it's only an issue when like you put more context around it. It's like, oh, you make this much money, why can't you do this? You start snooping in their finances, like Julia mm-hmm. said. And then another time I would say asking somebody like for approval of like, okay, is this amount of money like a good amount of money? Is it a bad amount of money? And it's like, that's not the conversation you should be having, because then I'm literally telling somebody else to snoop into my finances, which doesn't make sense to do. And it can be very problematic for you and your relationship with the other person. Mm-hmm. So I think those are like two examples.
And it was like the second one was more comparison based.
Exactly.
Which I think can seep into these conversations for sure.
Yeah, I think as long as you're not like trying to draw comparisons, or you're not trying to say like, you know, is this amount of money good? Because because yeah, like, but also like the thing is there, like everyone is in a different financial mm-hmm, state mm-hmm. and everyone has different like wants and needs and desires. And as a result of that, what is like good for one person may just be like quite literally unlivable, or like paycheck to paycheck for someone else, right? So it's going to matter, that kind of thing is going to matter a lot with context. So what I usually try to remember is like, if it's in the workplace, if you're talking with someone who has like the same or like a very similar role with you, in my opinion, yeah, you should be able to like talk about your salary. People should be able to be more open about that. And I think that's something that we've seen change quite a bit over mm-hmm. like the past few years or so. But when it comes to like just, you know, a friend, a family member, whatever, like you may not need to bring up like specific numbers, but I think that an important thing to keep in mind when it comes to asking about finances is that it's one of those things that I think people build up in their minds as like, oh, this is impolite, I shouldn't ask. Mm-hmm. When in reality, the person that you're asking probably like does not mind very much.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not going to be very judgmental, or it can be like, oh, I don't necessarily want to ask this person because like they seem to have everything together and I feel like I don't have everything mm-hmm. together. I don't want to ask them and like look stupid, right? When in reality, they probably have their own issues going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, for sure.
And if anything, they're just happy to help. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to keep in mind like context and how you ask those questions. But honestly, like as long as you consider that context and you like think about how you're approaching the problem, you can just go for it and ask. I think most people are plenty happy to help.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think most people in life are willing to help mm-hmm. people, but then you'll always come across someone who is more insecure, I would say, about their finances.
Yeah.
And so those people may show more resistance in sharing things with you just because they may not feel good about their salary or where they're at with investing or where they're at with knowing about like taxes and how that works. So mm-hmm. that may be something that people come across, but I don't think that most people are that way.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think just always like when you're thinking about, oh, is this like an appropriate question to ask in this situation? Mm-hmm. Just like put yourself in their shoes. And mm-hmm. if you feel okay answering that question, then I would be like, okay, might as well ask it.
Yeah.
We also read an article called The Role of Financial Strain in College Students' Work Hours, Sleep, and Mental Health by Peltz et al. And that article brought up the question of social pressure, and have we ever felt social pressure to spend money in college? How do you handle that situation? And also, how does it make you feel? Like, if, for example, all your friends are like, we go out to eat mm-hmm. on Tuesdays. And mm-hmm. then you're like, I don't have money to eat out every Tuesday. So how does that work in college?
Yeah, I would say I definitely feel like social pressures to spend money. Like, over Thanksgiving break, all my friends were going out. And then mm-hmm. like, and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen them all semester. I need to go out with them. And don't get me wrong, it was so fun. But then there's when I come back to school, and then there's people going out for like game days, which is always fun too. And then there's just all these like events for like even just like dinners during the week. And I'm like, okay, I want to go because I want to be social. I want to see these people. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily want to spend all this money. So I definitely think there are social pressures in college surrounding money.
No, I totally understand and feel that. And I think an excellent example of social pressure when it comes to spending money, it's coming up in, looks like as of the day of recording, in exactly 20 days, Christmas.
Oh, yes.
A lot of social pressure there. I mean, like my roommates and I were literally doing Secret Santa, which is basically me signing up to spend money.
Yeah.
I promise I will probably spend money on someone in this group. So yeah, I definitely feel those social pressures.
That's interesting. I was also like feeling that mm-hmm. with a Secret Santa thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could spend the money on this, but this is supposed to be fun. And I don't feel like spending like the extra to participate in this event, I guess. Uh-huh. And it's not about me wanting to get my friends gifts. It's just to be able to be a part of this social event, you are mm-hmm. then signing up to also spend money automatically. And so I just couldn't feel comfortable with that because I was like, I just don't understand what the expectation is mm-hmm. regarding these gifts. And so I think it's interesting how normalized it is to just ask people to spend money in college. Yeah. And it's just like, mm-hmm. do you want to come to this, right? And it's like, well, yeah. And it's like, well, give me $20. It's like, alrighty.
All right.
Yeah. But I also think like there's also ways around that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know for me, like one example that I can think of is like my friends and roommates would get together every Sunday to watch House of Dragons and mm-hmm. we wouldn't be going out to like dinner Sunday. We'd just do something inside and yeah, maybe we'd all like bring snacks or something, but definitely a way to just, you know, keep that communal fun. We're all seeing each other and having a good time together, but not mm-hmm. spending like half our paycheck every week. So
did you like talk to them about, I don't know, not spending as much money?
I did not. Not in that situation, because the main purpose of it was to, in fact, watch House of Dragons. But I think, like, everyone's on the same page where we didn't want to spend a lot of money, so we didn't, like, order food in every night. Like, okay. Once we did order Mellow Mushroom, and it was well worth it. But for the most part, it was definitely more low-key spending. So that was definitely a perk of that.
Yeah. My first year, I spent so much money on just random things because people, we would like come back from an event and then people would be like, we want pizza. And it's like, okay, now I'm spending like $15 on like to contribute to this pizza because we need a lot of pizza because there's a lot of people there. Yep. And so I'm spending money that way. Then the next day people are like, you want to go out to lunch? Because everybody's tired of the dining hall at this point. And so I'm like, I'm also tired of the dining hall and let me go out. And then the next night people would be like, you know what I want? Pizza. And so I remember spending like a ton of money like that way. When if I had heard about people hanging out and not doing events that cost a lot, I think that I would have been more likely to suggest that and just say, oh, let's watch a movie in my room or something like that. But I just thought that was the college way. You just spend your money on food and gifts and all the things.
What's another $10, $15, $20?
Yes.
Exactly.
That is literally what you think. You're like, it's only $10 this weekend. It's only $15 this weekend. It's like, you've done this every weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It adds up.
It does add up.
It's important to keep track of.
Mm-hmm. And in some people's like priorities are different.
That's true.
In those situations, they're like, this money is for me to spend on eating pizza every night.
Yeah.
You know, going to these events and I have the money to spend it. It's all like, I'm good. But then maybe other people participate, you're asking to participate with you are not good. And they just feel that pressure to do it versus like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's funny. I actually had a friend my first year that really enjoyed like going out and doing things and spending money. And that was what the money that she had, she
told us, like, that's what I'm spending this money on that. And I was very much in like a savings mode because I was like, I don't know if I want to go to grad school. I need to like start saving for that. And so I obviously had a ton of fun my first year, but my goal was not to spend the money that I had. Mm-hmm. And so I spent where I felt like I wanted to, but I think that was not my goal. So I think it definitely caused tension actually in the relationship because the goals were different between me and that person. And I think that was a situation where I just had to find other people to do things with that weren't going to have that same goal.
So potentially being more open with peers regarding finances could maybe lead to like reduce stress and like change your perceived like perception of financial stress.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just having open conversations with your friends who you are comfortable having those conversations with can also help the situation too. Just to let them know like where your head is with, you know, spending money and like not wanting to spend money every week. Cause then I feel like people will be more, what's the word? Not apprehensive, open to being like changing their state of mind. So it aligns with what your goals are too, because ultimately the goal for both of you is just to spend time together.
Right.
If it's a good relationship. So I think just being open about like what your financial goals are, can always help with that too.
Yeah.
That's true. Your friends should, and a lot of, if they're your friends, respect your goals and what you want out of your time in college. So
exactly.
I think that's a good point bringing that up.
So also in the article, the role of financial strain in college students, work hours, sleep, and mental health, it talked a lot about paying close attention to your mental health and sleeping habits when you're working more than 20 hours a week. And this is especially true within your first 2 years of college. And so it was really about like research suggested that the work hours in excess of 20 hours per week place students at a particular risk for negative outcomes, including like not having enough sleep and different stressors, and that sleep disturbance is what leads to those higher levels of like depression or different things like that. And so I think it's important to make sure that you're not kind of working too hard or working or stressing so much about having enough money, especially your first year, because first few years, because I feel like there can be a lot of stress of like, I need to be able to do everything or have enough money to pay my way through college or even have enough money to hang out with my friends or different things like that. But I think if you work a lot, then spend all the money and then not get enough sleep, that can be a very dangerous cycle.
Yeah. It's almost as if like you're sacrificing sleep to make more money when maybe you could be sacrificing making more money for learning how to manage your finances better too. So just looking at it from a different perspective can help in that situation as well.
And realizing your goals while you're in college. So making a plan, I think, is something that the one article, the one about the financial counseling, actually talked about the need for college students to have a plan on how they're going to pay for college or how they're going to work certain years or certain semesters. And it, I think having a plan can help with that aspect of working and trying to balance that with your social time and your class time and knowing what your goals are about how much money you need to make in a year for yourself. I think just planning out beforehand can actually kind of reduce that stress. And I know that another article talked about how there were high correlations between like your emotional health and how your finances were. That article was called The Impact of College Students' Financial Health on Other Dimensions of Health. And so that article found that participants who possessed a monthly budget and had emergency savings reported improved concentration, ability to face their problems, and happiness. And so it definitely goes along with that idea of having a plan can really just change the way that you interact with college and interact with your finances too.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like on that topic of having a plan, what are some resources that you guys use or find helpful in making you more comfortable with your finances?
I Google a lot of things. That is like, if I don't know what something is, I Google and like I research, and I look on different websites to make sure things are correct. That's really like my main method. And it seems so simple, but it's like all the information is really out there already. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something that my roommates and I use that I love to talk about. We have like a Google Sheet, which is essentially just Google's equivalent to Excel. We have a Google Sheet that we use where we put in like all of our grocery expenses for like shared groceries, all of our like utility bills, all that stuff. And it will automatically look at all of this data. It will tell you how much like everyone is spending on average per day. So how much does it cost to like keep each of us alive? And it will like graph that over time, show how much like each of us is like spending on different like things, how like all of that stuff. It basically takes this data and just analyzes it and visualizes it for you. And the reason that I bring that up is because if you ask me, when it comes to like personal finance, Excel is one of the most useful tools that you can have. Mm-hmm. Because whether it's doing that, whether it's like calculating interest, if you have like several points of data and mm-hmm. you need to like run some calculations on that, which chances are if you're doing anything in personal finance, you probably are going to need mm-hmm. to do that. Excellent tool. Seriously recommend it. So that's what I use a lot of.
Yeah. That seems like a good method. That's also mm-hmm. what Aaron and I talked about it.
Yeah.
A little in the last episode that we also have a Google Sheet with extensive weekly, inputs of mm-hmm. our spending. So we also use a Google Sheet, and that's how we keep track of what we're spending on and in what areas we're spending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to add to that, I would say to kind of reduce stress revolving like finances and different things like that, me being able to figure out like whatever it is, like taxes for mm-hmm. myself, mm-hmm. just sit down and like, okay, how do taxes work? Figure out how taxes work. And then like figure out how much would I be paying in taxes? And just knowing that, I think, reduces the stress. The amount of taxes I have to pay has not changed. But now that having that knowledge and figuring it out myself and knowing that I can figure it out instead of someone just telling me.
So
I like know everything that goes into that process is very helpful.
Yeah, I feel like I, for the most part, read books and listen to podcasts on it because I feel like my financial stress lies more in like future finances, mm-hmm. like how I'm going to afford things, like what is this, what is that, terms I don't know. So I feel like those are mainly the resources I use.
Do you remember any of the podcasts you listen to?
Yeah, one of my favorites is called Choose FI and stands for Financial Independence. And that's like one of my favorites. They have like so many episodes on like just a variety of things too, from investing to saving to retirement. So just like it covers a lot of the topics that the articles listed in financial literacy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That's helpful. I should listen to that.
Yeah, I should too.
Because all the things you just said, I was like, oh yeah.
Sure.
I definitely know about those. So one last question, before we wrap up, but, how has financial health affected whether or not you plan to pursue any further education? And I know that is, a big question of mm-hmm. choosing your major. When you come in, you're thinking about, will this major potentially require grad school, or are my career plans going to require grad school? And what does that decision look like?
Mm-hmm. I thought about grad school. I don't know if it's completely necessary for what I want to go into, especially since, I mean, I could be speaking out of term too, but I feel like for me, a lot of stuff I want to learn in the business realm, because I would, if I went to grad school, be for like my MBA. Mm-hmm. So if I did go to grad school, I feel like a lot of the stuff I could learn that's relevant to what I want to do, I can learn through like seminars, books, mm-hmm. Mentors. So I don't know if it's necessarily needed for me. I think if anything, I'd go for the network that you get from going to another grad school. Mm-hmm. So I just think like wrapping my head around the finances around it, it does give me more apprehension because mm-hmm. it is something I would like to do, but looking at it from a financial perspective, definitely I'm more tentative.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I am from North Carolina, and Clemson is most definitely not a North Carolina school. And Clemson out-of-state tuition is really expensive. So I want to do grad school. I want to pursue further education. But like, the additional cost that is going to come alongside that is is rather stressful. So it's absolutely impacting like whether or not I'm actually going to end up doing this.
Mm-hmm. And like what schools you may potentially like choose to go to, since there are out-of-state schools and there are in-state schools, and they cost different amounts.
Cost different amounts, different prices.
I think it's interesting too, being a college student, because your residence is so weird. Because we most definitely live in South Carolina for most of the year, but we are not residents here. So I think that's interesting too to think about. But I think I'm in a similar boat. But I know that grad school is something that I've always been looking forward to. But thinking about the potential cost of it has been a little stressful, just because I'm looking at out-of-state schools. So I think thinking about the potential cost of everything can seem overwhelming. But then I realized that just like I made plans for undergrad, I can make plans for graduate school. And if it's something that I want to pursue, then I just need to like look at how long it would potentially take me to pay back those loans, or what it would take for me to work in between those time, to work during that time and be able to afford it.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Having a plan can, and seeing what it looks like, can at least allow you to make the decisions and see like, oh, well, I do want to do this, and this is what it would look like. And then if you can accept that, then you go forward with it. I think in my field, and I guess Nathan's also in my field, of computer science, when you, I think that you get your undergraduate degree and that's all you need. I mean, there's a lot of people who go into industry without a college degree, even. It's just that kind of feel where you can come out of undergrad and just make a lot of money, which is wild. And so when you compare that to going to further education, it's, you really just have to be like, my purpose was to do research and not work. But no, I mean, there's reasons you might want to get your master's. There are some jobs that it's like they would be very helpful. But I feel like most of the time it's hands-on experience that will win. So
definitely.
I don't know if that's also shaped my perspective. It's related to finances, but also yeah, it's like, since higher education does not equal necessarily higher pay, which it never does anyway. I guess that colors my view.
Yeah. All good perspectives. Awesome. Well, I appreciate the conversation we're able to have about finances openly. Definitely try to have a conversation with a friend about where you're at financially. It might be interesting to see what you find out. I think it was cool to see all of your perspectives on your finances, and I was able to learn a lot. And I have been learning a lot in class from all of you, because there's so many things that are just out there to learn that I don't know about yet. So really appreciate this conversation. I guess I'm doing the closing again.
I can take over, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, go ahead, Nathan.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and call it here. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you very much. It was a good conversation today. Good stuff, everyone. So we will see you after Christmas break. It is currently, as I said earlier, about 20 days before Christmas. So hope everyone is, depending on when this comes out, I hope everyone has had good holidays. Hope everyone.
Yes, safe travels.
Time, see some family. Do a little traveling. But either way, we will see you in the next episode. Have a good one. Stay classy. I'll see you on the next episode of In the Spotlight. Banged my microphone as I was doing that.
These outros are so interesting.